To be honest, right now I'm a bit hesitating about what I do. There are two options, so I'm going to make a poll. Do we go up to Jarzynski equality and we stay in the quantum realm, or we jump to and we stay in the classical realm? Sorry, or we jump to quantum stochastic thermodynamics, knowing that now this is going to be my way of seeing things. In the sense, as I told you in the beginning, quantum stochastic thermodynamics is still kind of well, there is not a consensus. There is different way of defining quantum heat and work, and I'm going to give you mine. Well, which is going to be shared by people, but it's not consensus. So it's really as you wish.
Quantum.
Quantum.
Classical.
Okay. Classical.
Yes. Quantum.
I guess I use that. Nevertheless.
So who is for quantum? We discuss any time.
I'm for relativistic.
Then I check out. So it's actually the third part, which is quantum stochastic thermodynamics. And here, so I'm going to, just to summarize what we've seen. We've used, okay? So all the quantities that we've built so far, this delta IS of gamma, W of gamma, Q of gamma, all these quantities and the fluctuation theorem that go with, they have been built in using as a source of stochasticity a thermal bath, okay? And I'm jump on philosophy here. Thermal stochasticity is some sort of ignorance, right? If we were able to describe fully the bath and all its degrees of freedom, there wouldn't be any stochasticity anymore. We would be in full control, right? But this stuff that we have here, and in principle, especially the fundamental bounds that relate work extraction to time arrow, this here couldn't care less about which kind of dice I'm using, where the randomness comes from, okay? It couldn't care less. So the strategy to go to quantum stochastic thermodynamics to enter into quantum stochastic thermodynamics is, instead of using here a thermal map, to use any kind of CPTP map. And try to find again the same kind of intuitions that we get in the classical regime. Okay? And now here comes the problem of interpretation. So I'm Copenhagen up to the bones. So the first kind of CPTP map that I feel like considering here, it's a good old grandpa projective measurement. Okay? Projectors. Because I know that if I have this in hand, and if I build my concepts with this good old measuring apparatus, then any kind of quantum trajectory that I will generate for a quantum open system, where here I will have any kind of POVM, I can understand them as some entanglement with a reservoir plus a projective measurement in the end. Okay? but I can fully adopt the picture where I play with projective measurements.
Do you need some thermal nature for this quantum? Because I mean, in the classical case, you have this thermal law.
Yeah.
Does this thing have to have any thermal properties?
No. We are here. Actually, we are here in the scenery that we have when we learn quantum mechanics as undergraduates. There is a drive, a time-dependent Hamiltonian here, projective measurement here, and period. And but the difference is now we are going to do thermodynamics with that. Okay. Okay. So first ingredient that we need with this scenery, it's a trajectory. Okay. And so here is the idea, the bread and butter of what we are going to do. Imagine that you have a system. You drive this system, so I'm just going to redraw what I did here. You drive this system with some operator, and you are going to measure it at discrete times tk. Okay? So the gain evolves a bit, you measure it, it's stochastic, evolves a bit, measure it, stochastic, etc. So, starting from that, there are two options. Either you don't know at all the outcome of the measurement, and even if you start from a pure state here, so you do have a pure state at the initial time, but you don't recall, you will quickly end up in a mixed state, okay? Because you ignore what's going on. So that's unread measurement. Unread measurement. But on the other end, if you record all the results of your measurements, then you will be able to know, to reconstruct at any time in which state, pure state, the system is. So you start from P of T0, then you let it evolve a bit, you end up in P of T1 minus, then you apply your measurement, you end up in some of the eigenstates of the measuring apparatus, let it evolve again, etc. And with this, you build a quantum trajectory, which is stochastic, because the measurement results are stochastic, but it's a pure state. So I would call this is, well, it's a quantum trajectory. It's a very elementary quantum trajectory in the sense that usually you have a quantum open system, there is a Lindblad, you unravel, etc. So here the unraveling is for free and here is in the basis of the measurement that you do. But it leads to the same kind of idea, which is super important, which is the idea I want to insist on now. When we've built classical stochastic thermodynamics, the source of randomness, again, it was thermal, it was epistemic, it was because there is a bath with many degrees of freedom that I don't take in, well, that I model in an effective manner, etc. Here, the source of randomness, it's quantum, it's different. Right? But we can do this because, I mean, like we said many times in stochastic thermodynamics, there are many mathematical tautologies. And again, we don't care about the kind of randomness that comes into play there. Right? So that's quantum trajectory, stochasticity here is quantum, purely quantum, genuinely quantum. Okay, so now we have the trajectory. Now we need to define heat and work and entropy production. So again, always the same story. Work is exchange. Okay, I'm going to draw the trajectory. Here is some sort of quantum trajectory, right? It's idealized, so I don't really say what is here, but typically these are continuous evolutions and jumps, continuous evolutions and jumps. T, and these are the times of the measurement. So,
Alexia?
Yes?
So far there are no weak or continuous measurements, right?
No, no. The weak and the continuous, they are for later. Here, as I argued in the beginning, good old projective stuff that I understand what I'm doing. So just like in the classical case, the work is exchanged during the unitaries. So work, prescription, how to distinguish between heat and work. Work is exchanged during the unitaries. And heat is exchanged during the non-unitary. So typically, this is work exchange, this is work exchange, this is work exchange, this is work exchange, and this is heat exchange, etc. And saying this, I'm just mimicking what's going on in the classical regime, because work, basically, these are energy transfers which don't change the entropy of the system, whereas heat are energy transfers which potentially change the entropy of the system. So I'm not violating anything. I mean, I'm building on good old intuitions here. Okay, so now I want to insist a bit on this heat here, so I come to the masterpiece. The quantum heat.
So, stop, Alexia.
Please.
No, I don't quite get this statement that work, I want to say that the work is extremely energy, but that can change the energy.
Yeah, because during the unitary,
I'm confused because if I think of good old 18th century thermodynamics,
yes,
there are many examples of cases where you do when you work on your system and you change its state, you bring it from state A to state B for doing some work and you would have
Yeah, but you couple two bugs at the same time. You couple two bugs at the same time. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's really.
There is no path.
No,
I have a gas in a piston and I do an adiabatic expansion and it's low. I change not the entropy, the same as
it is.
This is the case.
Mm-hmm. But,
and maybe as another point, Alexia.
Yes.
When you say entropy, just to point out the obvious, you have a pure state the whole time, so the von Neumann entropy is actually zero at the whole time.
Yeah, thanks for the question. It's more if you figure out all the possible trajectories that you can have, if you just apply your control, then you will change, you won't change the entropy because it's unitary. But indeed, you need to have in mind that this is a possible stochastic trajectory with a pure state, but on average, like I was saying in the beginning, if you don't record, you will have a mixed state. Well, forget about this if you have not, and just use this where I say, okay, this is the unitary protocol. During the unitary protocol, there is work that is exchanged. Here is a stochastic jump. That's the moment where the heat is exchanged, and it corresponds to the classical intuitions in stochastic trajectories. Okay? So here, I want to focus now on the kind of stuff that is exchanged here. And for that, I'm going to pick up one example, which is a qubit. Prepare my qubit in a plus state, and I measure it in this axis here. Prepare a qubit in the plus state, measure it. in the sigma z basis. say, 0, 1 phases. This is 1 and this is 0. So here there are two possible trajectories, right? There is either plus x going to 0 or plus x going to 1. There is no work exchange because I don't drive the guy. But there is a change of energy of my guy. Because here, the initial energy of my qubit, it's, well, if I say that this guy is 0, this y is h nu divided by 2, and this one is h nu, this is the energy of my of the transition. Okay? So my initial energy is 0, and here my final energy final energy, it's 0, and here the final energy is h nu. So, in that case, there is some quantum heat that is exchanged, that is minus h nu, half of h nu, and here it's plus half of h nu. Yes.
Wouldn't it be more maybe precise to say that the initial amplification is h nu over the n? That's what you expect on average.
Actually, thanks for asking the question. And I was saying myself while writing this, I define heat and work, but I didn't define energy here, which. So you can call it indeed energy expectation, etc. I mean, call it the way that you want. It's, where should I write it? Say here. So, internal energy, expectation, energy. This is going to be h of t, psi gamma of t, psi gamma of t. Yeah, it is an expectation. It's not measurable. In the sense, you cannot measure the energy to get this. But if you know the trajectory, which I've shown you that, well, you can know. If you know the Hamiltonian that you apply, and you'd better do because you're the guy in control who is applying a Hamiltonian, then you can reconstruct this quantity and play with this. Yes?
So, I'm sorry to go back to the previous question. So you can't define entropy at the level of the trajectory? At least?
I'm coming to the entropy after.
Because,
first
because
energy,
the
then entropy. So first law, second law. Is that okay? Yeah? So everyone is cool with quantum heat?
No.
Shit. Here is a fight, you know, I was waiting for tomatoes. What is this quantum heat on us?
We're letting you a rope so we can hang you.
Okay. I want to finish with this energy. Considering two cases. So this is the first case I wanted to consider, where actually I'm having a state and I'm measuring in the energy basis of this state. Okay? So on average, the quantum heat here is 0. If I average it over all trajectories, here probability is 1/2, here it's 1/2. So on average I find 0, right? But there is another possible case, which is I'm starting, for instance, from the ground state here, and I measure in these places. So I either find plus x or minus x. So on average here, my quantum heat is h nu over 2. Okay? And this basically comes from the fact that measurement basis does not commute with the free Hamiltonian of my system.
No, your state is not diagonal in the basis on which you are measuring
initially.
Yes, but it's more than that. Here you find that you have an energy transfer on average, which means that the Hamiltonian is not commuting with the basis of my measuring apparatus, which is a property that you don't find here. The quantum heat vanishes on average. Okay? So it's not only with the state. It does not measure with the measurement.
Yes,
does not. Measurement basis does not commute with Hamiltonian. Okay, so in these two cases, actually I'm going... Oh, but no, I should have stopped at 11.
No,
it's 11, I can go... I mean, you're still with me? Okay.
So,
because I have a few slides for the end, and I think I'm going to show them, because this will be illustrations of for the stuff I'm building here. So this case here, we see that it can be... Okay, I will show it on the slides. No need for long this. I want to finish with entropy. Entropy production. So how do we compute entropy production here? So again, we are in the very simple case where I do between two measurements. I do have some unitary evolution, okay? So if I want to compute the entropy production for a given trajectory like this, so my trajectory here is defined by the sequence of measurement results I find at each tk. This gives me full access to my quantum trajectory. And I have the probability of this quantum trajectory, which is the probability of the initial state, so say m of t0, multiplied by the conditional probability of getting m tk plus 1, knowing m at time tk over all k's. Right, and this, I can generate many trajectories like this, and the entropy production, okay, I also need, sorry, I guess I'm getting jet lagged here. So the probability of the reverse trajectory now, okay, it's the probability of the last point of my trajectory of gamma. But now, considering all the possible trajectories that have arrived to that specific point, okay? So it's the same way as for the classical stochastic map I was telling you about. At each time tk, I measure, and I can generate a set of trajectories like this. And in the end of the protocol, this generates me a mixed state. And these mixed states give me, for this specific state, a probability. And that's this probability that I take as the probability of the starting point of my reverse trajectory. Okay, I know some people nodding, and I really thank them for that, because the sentence is so long that I need encouragement. And then the reverse protocol is it's the probability of getting M of TK, knowing that there was M of TK plus 1. And here I should have put a U, unitary evolution. Okay, and this may answer some of the questions that you asked me during the break. There is a U here, going from TK to TK plus 1. M of TK. Oh, sorry. No, I'm really starting to say crap here. So that's a conditional probability, right? This conditional probability, I can rewrite it like this, like brackets here. Okay? Right? And this conditional probability here, I'm going to rewrite it. Like now, I'm applying the reverse protocol. Oops. So this reverse protocol, I'm going to, yeah, it's the U dagger of TK plus 1 to TK, M of TK plus 1. These two guys here, they are equal, right? So in the end of the day,
but you're jumping there, right? But it's not unitary, it's interrupted by the measurements in between.
No, there are, this here is the unitary between TK and TK plus 1.
Ah, so you have the product, these are in between, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So now if I compute the logarithm of the rate of both, I have, like always, what we call a boundary term that corresponds to the initial states of the direct and reverse trajectories. So it's the P of M of T0 divided by the P tilde of M of Tn. So that's conditional term. Plus what we call the, no, that's the boundary term. Boundary term. And there is here the P of gamma knowing M of T0 divided by the P of gamma tilde knowing M of Tn. And this guy here is the conditional term. And in the case of a unitary between the stochastic processes, this guy is 1. Okay? So, with this kind of elementary quantum trajectories, what we find is a very simple result. It's that we end up with what we... Well, I'm jumping to on average. On average, what we find here will be the von Neumann entropy of the system after all the sequence, after all the trajectories have been performed. Is that okay? My English is going away. So it's the delta S von Neumann of the system. Does it answer your question? No, it does not answer.
No, yes, but I'm still thinking about the...
Good.
So Alexa, it's important, right, that the what you call the trajectory here is not what you draw here. So here it's the quantum trajectory, that's the trajectory in the Hilbert space. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so actually, okay, it's a writing problem, but this trajectory here, this measurement record here allow me to reconstruct perfectly the quantum trajectory followed by my system.
Because it's a projectivity measurement.
Yes.
So So here there is an identification.
Complete identification, yes.
So this equivalence of delta I with delta S von Neumann, I mean, this von Neumann entropy can decrease in the process, right?
In principle, there's nothing wrong with
that. While you're measuring, no.
But in another process, I mean, you can imagine a cooling process.
Average.
But even in
a cooling process wouldn't follow that protocol.
Okay.
Here you can only mess up.
So it's specific to this thing. Okay, I see.
Just mess up here.
Okay.
It was just to install the scenery.
I'm just confused. Is this von Neumann or Shannon entropy? Is this the Shannon entropy line?
No, because here. Well, actually, I'm not very good at.
This is not von Neumann because you're measuring.
Right.
It's a measuring record.
I mean,
von Neumann entropy is an abstract because you don't know what you do. This is a trajectory here. It's an abstract.
No, but this probability here, so you will tell me which entropy it is, but in the end of the process, if I've generated all my trajectories, then I get a final rho from my system, which can be written sum over all these p tilde m of tn. M of Tn. And that's for Neumann. That's for Neumann.
No, okay.
Because it depends on your measurement. The record depends on what you measure.
Yes.
Well, Neumann is an ideal.
Okay.
Mathematically, if you trace a problem of rho in that box, I would call that the von Neumann entropy of cross density matrix. Yes.
So, von Neumann, raise your hand.
Can I ask? Sorry, because I got lost in the derivation. So, you're saying this is. Can you define first von Neumann entropy? So, this is rho log rho, and then what is this delta S von Neumann? Is rho log rho the final state minus rho log rho the initial state?
Yeah, the initial state is the pure state.
Yeah.
So, that's it. So you've answered the question.
Myself. Thank you.
Myself. Cool.
No, but okay.
Generally.
Is that, are we good?
I think so. The two lines of math.
Is delta S is non-negative.
Delta S is non-negative.
Yes.
That's a way actually to prove that while you're measuring a system, you can only mix it up and its fundamental entropy can only increase. Because here we do have a connection between von Neumann entropy and the thermodynamic entropy that comes from comparing rates.
But mathematically what is happening is that the channel that describes your evolution is a broad channels, we know for such channels you have a lot of
entropy.
It's contrasted.
So are you for some slides or I mean those who want can just no problem. Yes?
Do you want to say something at this point about micro reversibility or concerning this new dagger or does that just not enter your theory here?
Micro reversibility. So I see your point. So actually here we are precisely in a case which I've not entered into because I didn't have the time of absolute irreversibility. Absolute irreversibility in the sense that now if we were writing a fluctuation theorem for this, an exponential minus I delta S, I would find something that is strictly below one because there are direct trajectories like this, but I can generate also reverse trajectories which do not have any direct counterpart. And for that, actually, for this very reason, I will always find an entropy that is strictly positive. So there is no micro reversibility whatsoever. I'm never at equilibrium, basically, unless my Hamiltonian commutes and I do nothing, basically.
On the right side, you have something that is smaller than 1. Means that your E gamma reverse is not normalized.
It's not normalized when you sum over the direct trajectories. it's not normalized when you sum over the direct trajectories. It's normalized if you sum over all the reverse trajectories, which are more than
the function is the same.
There is an initial measurement.
Yeah, but you have more reverse trajectories than direct ones.
So, Alexia, maybe there's one other point I wanted to raise.
Yes?
We should put Alexia on the
It's the
reverse here. Okay.
Reversed
ones. All right. Order. Okay. That's right. I have to get the whip out. For maybe one point to point out is that for the reverse trajectories, you know, for example, you have something where you have like an x eigenstate, and then you collapse, for example, to z eigenstates. And so when you try to run that backwards in your reverse trajectory, you can actually never actually realize that process physically.
Yeah.
So that's an important point, I think, to mention.
Yeah. Will you?
I just did.
That? Because then this is also your job, right? In your presentation?
I talk about this exact point next week.
Yeah.
And also this absolute irreversibility. I'd say more about that too.
Right.
Or I make Cyril say more about that.
Alexia, maybe can you please? We discussed and we saw that we don't totally follow this.
Yes.
You know this. How do you go from averaging this delta SI? Okay, then you end up with the polynomial entropy and what exactly?
Okay.
Can you
so
just do it a bit more explicitly?
Okay.
Just two more lines.
So.
Can we do it after? Maybe we show the slides and maybe we discuss this at the Blackboard later.
Okay. Okay. Fine. So this is just about the strategy that I have explained at length, so I will not reread again, but basically the idea is to pick up the legacy of classical thermodynamics and go into quantum by switching bases. So I guess you get the point. And here, I will just talk about these two points, because this I guess I will present during the conference. So the idea is that this experiment that I've presented you, where I measure a qubit that is prepared in this plus state in these spaces which does not commute, which give me rise to this quantum heat, this actually also corresponds to the work that I should pay to get back my state here, in its initial state, right? So this is a very naive feedback stabilization protocol, because I'm the one who measure, I get the measurement result, and I want to go back to the beginning. So actually, quantum heat exactly compensates the work of the feedback. So at this point, with projective measurements, this is really naive. But now we can go to something a bit more realistic, in the sense that now the measurement can be a weak measurement that is generated by some environment with pure defacing. And so it's decoherence, basically. And the idea is to compare different ways of doing a feedback protocol depending on the power that your feedback source has. Usually, when you want to assess the performance of a feedback source, you look at the bandwidth. You want your feedback to be as fast as possible to compensate in real time the perturbations that are on your quantum state. But here the game is to really use the quantum heat as some quantity which can also assess the quality of a feedback source in a different way. So here, that's my qubit that is undergoing pure defacing on the block sphere. So you see this trajectory, there is no feedback that is applied. And obviously, the guy will go either on the up, north, or south pole of the block sphere. Thank you. Here, the green trajectory corresponds to a case where perfect feedback is applied. And actually, what you can model is along the trajectory, you will have energetic perturbations. And these energetic perturbations of fluctuations correspond to fluctuations of quantum heat, right? And which are plotted here. This is the histogram of the perturbation that you will get along the trajectory. And here is the histogram of the feedback work that you apply to stabilize your qubit. Okay? And now, so here, as you can see, those histograms perfectly fit, which is the guarantee that you stabilize your qubit properly. But now if you limit the power of your source, then you can see that actually your feedback is much more noisy, right? So there is nothing quantitative in there. It's just, well, this, we've worked on that at a moment where actually the reality of the quantum heat was pretty much discussed. And this is an operational point of view of the quantum heat to show that it has some impact on quantum control, basically. So that's the idea. Second set of slides that is very quick. Actually, should I make it very quick? No, I think I'm going to save you. If you are interested, just know that we have also performed the thermodynamic analysis of spontaneous emission, and me or Cyril will be happy to tell you about that anytime you want, but I guess there will be other conversations before. But we can compute classical quantum heat and entropy production in different cases. And with that, I just want to thank guys, and you're seeing all my slides of the presentation for the conference. So thank you to all the people with whom I've had nice conversations on different topics. And here are the students, fantastic students I've been working with. Two of them are in the room. And a small advertisement for PhD programs in Grenoble that we have, interdisciplinary program on quantum technologies. The last call is in October 2018, so if you're interested, if you're students who would like to work there, you are most welcome to tell me. Thank you. Yes.
I have a certain problem with the definition of world, because the same process can be also written in the equivalent way by rotating this measurement basis and adding some unitary to compensate.
Let me just...
And then you redefine completely these unitaries, which are basic for your definition of world.
I didn't get your question, I'm sorry.
So you compose two types of maps. One is unitary, yeah, and then projection, say, in the given base.
Yes.
But
yes,
you can also change this basis of measurement, sure, with any step by adding some extra unitary and then compensate it by the inverse of this unitary, which now changes the composition into this completely positive map and this unitary map.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a different work.
Yeah, that's a different protocol.
You get different logic.
You also get different heat.
You also get the different heat, but essentially it's, the system behaves exactly in the same way.
I guess the question is, do you control the rotation of the measurement apparatus or not? If you control them, in this picture, it costs you some work that compensates the work of the unitary that compensates this rotation. So you have the same splitting in this period. If you say that you don't control this rotation, that maybe it makes sense to say it's a different heat and a different work because you don't control this exchange of energy.
Mm. Well, I guess other questions will be on the blackboard and any time.
Okay, let's all thank you.